Tatyaha.
Purbhati.
Parataha. By others. The damsels created by Kardama. Poshaha. Maintained. Api. Although. Akrishaha. Not then. Cha. And. Adi. Anxiety. Asambhavat. From not occurring. Babau. Shown. Malahai. By dust. Avachanaha. Covered. Saduma. Surrounded with smoke. Eva. Like. Pavakaha. A fire. Translation. Her body was being taken care of by the spiritual damsels created by her husband, Kardama. And since she had no mental anxiety at that time, her body did not become thin. She appeared just like a fire surrounded by smoke. So you can repeat. Her body was being taken care of by the spiritual damsels created by her husband, Kardama. And since she had no mental anxiety at that time, her body did not become thin. She appeared just like a fire, surrounded by smoke. So purport by Divine Grace, Shilabhaupad ki jai. Because she was always in trance, in transcendental bliss, the thought of the personality of Godhead was always carefully fixed in her mind. She did not become thin, for she was taken care of by the celestial maidservants created by her husband. It is said, according to the Ayurvedic medical science, that if one is free from anxieties, he generally becomes fat. Of course, Prabhupada is referring to not super fat, but, you know, anyway, has some meat on his bones. Devahuti, not, in other words, not like a rail. Devahuti, being situated in Krishna consciousness, had no mental anxieties, and therefore her body did not become thin. It is customary in the renounced order of life that one should not take any service from a servant or maid, but Devahuti was being served by the celestial maid servants. This may appear to be against the spiritual concept of life, but just as fire is still beautiful even when surrounded by smoke, she looked completely pure, although it seemed that she was living in a luxurious way. So, tadeha parata posho pyakrishaschadya sambhavat babomalaira vachanda saduma eva pavaka. So, omagana timidanda shaganjana shlakaya chakshuram meditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, actually, Prabhupada makes a very important point here about. I mean, there's many important points. We're not going to get into the points about diet or being freed from anxiety and things like that because we have not experienced a state of being free from anxiety, especially, you know, managing in the Krishna consciousness movement. So that has not occurred to us. Anyway, so the main point, I think, in this purport is the Prabhupada is making is the situation of someone in the renounced order of life. Now, it's interesting that Devahuti also was not a sannyasini, but she was in the renounced order, and not in a formal way. Sometimes the ladies pose the question to us, you know, why can't women take sannyas? Not sometimes, we always get posed that question. Isn't it nowadays? In the old days, we never got that question. But really? Well, I never got that question until the last 20 years, you know, why can't I take sannyas? You know, also. Oh, another question the ladies ask is, which is a little bit the opposite. If men can have so many wives, why can't I have so many husbands? Anyway, it's like the opposite type of question. Everyone understands that? So, you know, because keeping up with the dasas, the ladies want to keep up with the dasas. Anyway, so the point is that in the Vedic system, why isn't it that ladies can't, in the formal way to take the renounced order of life, because the renounced order of life generally means that one is traveling without any visible means of support, except for credit cards. And no, traveling without any visible means of support, and, you know, depending on Krishna, and it's dangerous. You know, it's dangerous. At least the way the sannyasis used to travel was dangerous, because they would go to the forest where there were tigers and lions and all sorts of ferocious creatures, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to the Jarakhanda forest, and of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the ideal sannyasi, was not only not afraid of the animals, but he also got them to, what, dance and chant and kiss each other, you know. But most of us sannyasis can't do that with the animals. We, at least, we're afraid of them. But anyway, so the whole idea, according to, well, there's someone's writing that. Maybe at the temple, someone accidentally choked on Ed. Oh, so anyway. So the whole idea is, according to Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the saintly qualities, Vaya Shatva Sham Shuti, Jnana Yoga Vyavastitahi. Yeah. That the first principle of someone in the renounced order of life is what? Abhaya. Abhaya means fear. Abhaya means without fear. So one has to, the first principle is to be free from fear. And what is the fear? Of course, one, for one's protection, for one's maintenance. And of course, as Prabhupada has described many times before, the general way that one takes the renounced order of life in the Vedic system is a gradual process. That they go from the Kutichak, Bahudak, Paravidakacharya, and finally the Paramahamsa. In other words, in the beginning, they're not freed from fear. When they first take sannyas, they're wondering, you know, where am I going to get my meal? So they reside in the same village, and the family sends the food through the children. Not that the wife comes and says, dear, here, I'm here. I'm here with the food. But anyway, the children or the son brings the food to the man who just took sannyas, because he hasn't figured out yet how to live without being fed by his wife. And then gradually he figures it out, and then he does the madukari. That means going from house to house, because he still hasn't figured out, you know, in many cases he hasn't really figured out how to live without making an endeavor to eat. So at least he collects a japati from each house. That's called madukari. Just like we were in Vrindavan, and on our tour around the Braj Mandal, the devotees did madukari. We went to different people's houses and we said, madukari, madukari, you know. And everyone would get a chapati. Because the interesting thing in Braj is the chapatis are actually quite fat. I don't know if anyone's seen a Braj chapati. They're in the villages. We're not talking about in the ISKCON temples. In the ISKCON temples, they roll it real thin, so they have to use less wheat and save money. But in the villages, they actually roll with their hands in many cases. The real traditional japatis, the Braj japatis, they actually roll, you know, they push and push, and they're really fat japatis. And you ever seen, anybody seen any of those? No? No?
I thought it was
none. What?
I thought it was like
none. None? None. N-A-N-A-N. N-A-N. None? No. Maybe that's what it's called too, but in, we experience this when we're going around Braj, where we ask for chapatis, because I didn't eat any chapatis, but because it's not part of my diet. But the devotees had this, you know, they just pushed it, made the chapatis like that. Or even when they rolled, it was thicker. Whereas in India, actually, I guess in Gujarat, the chapatis are very, very thin. You can see through them. But actually, even they got them to puff up, and the way they made them, of course, was in the cow manure. They cow manure fire. And they put them there, they put them on top in a little griddle and waited, cooked it, you know, back and forth, and then actually put it to the side of the fire, which is really interesting. Anyway, so that's madukari, where you collect a little bit from each house. Not that you collect a lot, you know, like the bee, that's called the bee, bumblebee philosophy, where the bumblebee collects a little bit from each flower, a little bit of pollen, and then he goes back to the hive and makes the honey. So that's how a sannyasi becomes gradual. And so after a while he figures, well, actually Krishna will take care of me. I don't even have to go around begging for food. And then he starts preaching Krishna consciousness. Of course, Prabhupada gave this Parvajakacharya type of sannyas to his devotees, not to worry about eating so much. And so they travel, and Krishna provides naturally for the devotee. And then you have then the Paramahamsa's one just remains in one place and doesn't breach Krishna consciousness, and then Krishna takes care of him also at that point. So anyway, so for ladies, getting back to the point, this traveling like that is not really recommended, because in general, according to the Vedic system, the lady should be protected. Now, protected generally against, you know, unscrupulous men or being cheated, because they're generally considered the weaker sex. I mean, this is what Prabhupada presented, and it's a fact. So anyway, so but still, the ladies can take up the renounced order of life in an informal way, and perhaps even a more renounced way, by dedicating themselves to Krishna, because that's the essence of the renounced order of life. Abhaya Shatva Sham Shuddhi. And then the second part of that is Jnana Yoga Vabhastati, by cultivating knowledge. Jnana Yoga Vabhastati. This is from Bhagavad Gita, about the divine qualities, in the chapter of Divine and Demoniac Qualities. Anyway, so the ladies can do these things. They can become free of fear. They can cultivate knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and in this way they can actually be as renounced as men without the prophet adoration distinction that we men get. Sometimes people want to be sannyas because they want prophet adoration distinction, which is a kind of strange reason for wanting to take sannyas. Or I remember in the early days, people wanted to take sannyas because they wanted the Mahaprasadam. I don't know if anyone remembers that. You know, the sannyasis used to get all the maha plates after they came off the altar. So as soon as you heard a ring, and the offering was over, you knew that Maharaj was going to have a big plate, and so you showed up in his room to ask for remnants. So I remember in the beginning, I was a servant of one of the sannyasis, and I went up to his room. I saw the maha plate, and I took prasadam from it. And he said, "What happened to the Mahaprasadam?" I said, I took the remnants. And he said, "Well, you're taking it before I ate it." And I said, you know, preemptive strike. Anyway, so the men get all this prophet adoration distinction. The women don't have dandas or dandinis. I remember there was one person who deviated from Prabhupada's teachings, and he actually gave women sannyas. This was in a farm community a little bit north of here. I won't mention the name. None of you can guess. So we went there and visited, and we saw all these ladies walking around with the dandas. And there was like Eternal Love Maharaj, and I just almost fainted, and not in ecstasy, but I just fainted, you know, in shock. See these ladies, you know, I'm Eternal Love. I said, Hare Krishna. Well, no eternal love with me. I'm getting away from here. So that's not bona fide. That's one, and Prabhupada spoke very strongly against that. You know, ladies taking sannyas. But ladies can be just as renounced, just as dedicated, without the prophet adoration distinction, which is actually much more renunciation than us men get. So that's one point. But in any case, whether it's a lady or a man, there's certain principles that apply, such as, you know, living very simply, not accepting any more that's necessary. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting point here. Let me just find that in the purport. One should not take any service from a servant or a maid. I mean, I was just like shocked when I read that, because, you know, generally sannyasis have servants, not maids usually. Not maids. But, you know, servants. So how to reconcile that? And what is the reason for that? Oh, of course, the reason. Let's give the reason first of all. The reason for that, there's several reasons, is that one becomes dependent upon the mercy of others and it weakens one. Prabhupada talks about that too. If one becomes dependent on someone in any situation, it actually weakens one. Whether one is, even a Brahmin is not supposed to be dependent. Because when you're dependent on someone, then you actually adapt your speaking or your actions to please that person, so you'll get that particular service or thing you think you need from that person. So that's why sannyasi has to be independent, or even a Brahmin is supposed to be independent in livelihood. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of this Chanaka Pandit. Chanaka Pandit was the actually Prime Minister of Maharaj Chandragupta, but he never took a salary. So in other words, he wasn't dependent economically. He lived in a hut, even though he was the most powerful person, Prabhupada said, in the kingdom. And when he disagreed, what did he do? He just up and left. You know, so that's actually Brahmanical quality as well as a renounced quality. And one can just like, is independent like that. So that's one reason. That's perhaps the main reason for not taking any service. And of course, one's supposed to be dependent upon Krishna. And then when you're dependent on anyone else, you can actually be controlled by them, either subtly or grossly controlled by that particular person. You know, I need this person in order to live. If this person doesn't cook for me, I won't live like that. So this is actually an important principle, especially in the sannyasa order or someone who is becoming renounced like Devahuti, becoming completely self-sufficient, self-dependent, dependent on Krishna. So therefore, it's generally recommended that one doesn't have a servant or a maid. Of course, for the ladies, that would be a maid. And for the men, that would be a servant. Obviously, I don't find too many sannyasis traveling around with maids. Be kind of funny. So, but why do we see, not talking specifically about Devahuti, but why do we see that sannyasis have servants? You know, what's happening here? I mean, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was really strict with the sannyasis that he dealt with. I mean, let's take the example of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was given a chadar by Srikant, his brother-in-law. You know, a nice chadar, because I don't have a chadar here. But, you know, nice chadar, you know, wool chadar and everything. And Lord Chaitanya kept looking at it. And Sanatana Goswami understood. You all know that story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanatana Goswami understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not very pleased with this. You know, not very pleased. So eventually he went to the Ganges and went to a Muslim mendicant and said, "My dear Muslim mendicant, let's trade. You give me your quilt." You know, quilt means like it's an old cloth with different pieces just tied together, you know, stitched together. It looks really terrible. Of course, nowadays you pay more for a quilt. Isn't it? Nowadays you actually go to the store, oh, it's a quilt that looks real cool, all these different pieces. But in those days, a quilt meant all discarded pieces of cloth that you put together and you made it yourself a blanket, or your blanket was torn, you just put it together. So he traded, and the Muslim was actually shocked. You know, what are you doing? He said, "All right, you know, let's humor this guy. Let's give him my quilt, and I'll take this nice shawl." So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, he was very pleased with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami had given up a shawl. I mean, just think, a shawl. Imagine. You know, what's wrong with a shawl? And then also in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very encouraged when he was gradually becoming super renounced. I mean, giving up, of course, taking the charity from his family, even to entertain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stopping taking prasadam even at the soup kitchen, you mean the kitchen there for the beggars at Jagannath Puri, not begging anymore, and just taking the rejected rice that was the Talinga gate and washing it with water and putting salt on it. He actually became extremely pleased with, and he tried to take that same prasadam from him, isn't it? He grabbed it, and after a handful or two, Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "No, this is not fit for you." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You know, why are you keeping all this good stuff for yourself?" So, isn't it? That's a Chaitanya Charitamrita, that story. So you see this like extreme renunciation. Or, you know, with Junya Haridas, he happened to just like, you know, look the wrong way one time, you know, when he was begging rice, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. I mean, wow, such a strict standard. So anyway, so the point is, you know, why or how is it possible that nowadays we have sannyasis like, you know, like me or something like that, who are taking so much service from others, walking around in fine clothing. Anyway, it's not that fine. You know, in vehicles and everything like that. You know, what's happening? What's happening? Well, what's happening is that we're engaged in a preaching mission. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we all know this story, he went to Radhakund in a Rolls Royce. You know, Rolls Royce, I've only ridden a Rolls Royce once in my life, it was my father's. And I asked my father, how much mileage do you get on this one? How many miles per gallon? Of course, it's actually gallons per mile in a Rolls Royce. But he said, if you ask that question, you don't belong in this car. You understand? It's real heavy with me. I said, how many miles per gallon? He said, if you're asking that question, get out of the car. In other words, it's just like, it's a cheapo question to ask if you're riding around in a Rolls Royce. You don't worry about the gas mileage. So the Rolls Royce is like the topmost car, for those of you who don't know. I mean, Rolls Royce, Bentley, isn't it?
Debatable,
okay. Anyway, in the material world, it's considered, in the gross material world, it's considered the best car. So, they're made by Ford, so forget it. Prabhupada said something about Ford, you know, like the joke, there was a tin can in the street. You know the story? Oh, you didn't hear that story. I'll tell you the story. A man was saying that I can tell whatever car is on the street. This is a Prabhupada story. Just by, you know, my eyes are closed and I just hear it. So, you know, a Chevrolet drove by and he said, that's a Chevrolet. And this car, he said, that's that, you know, whatever car it was. And then all of a sudden a donkey came by and he was dragging some tin cans behind him. And the man said, that's a Ford. That was Prabhupada's joke. That's not a comment I'm making on Ford. Forgive me, Ambarish, but it's a joke that Prabhupada made. You could hear it, you could read about it in the database. So anyway, so Srila Bhakti, getting back to the story, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took a Rolls Royce to Radhakund, you know, and you know, generally, you know, you go to Radhakund or Vrindavan, everyone's barefoot, you know, and really austere, and this sadhu is coming in a Rolls Royce. You know, what's up? You know, it's one thing to have servants. It's another thing, you know, to have shoes, but a Rolls Royce. And also, when he went around Govardhan, and it's interesting, he wore sandals or shoes to go around Govardhan. I don't know if you know this. And the devotee said, you know, how come you're wearing shoes? And he said, well, my feet are meant for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? The feet are meant for preaching. Yeah, for helping my preaching, you know. For being part of the preaching movement. In other words, he was showing this principle of yukta vairagya. So, for those who are engaged in preaching, and actually the Prabhupada also exhibited, Prabhupada also accepted a servant, not only one servant, sometimes two servants and an editor and things like that, or a massage, a person to massage him, and Prabhupada was being massaged with oil, of course. So for preaching, then we can accept so many amenities, but we have to be careful not to become attached to those amenities, not to become dependent upon those amenities. Because Prabhupada was certainly able to take care of himself without any of us. I mean, before he came to the United States, he was cooking for himself, he was taking the paper to the printers, he was supervising the galley proofs. Galley proofs means the first proofs. In the old days, they used to print using these linotype machines. Anyone know what a linotype machine is? Linotype machine means it prints the letters in reverse. You know, and they align. It's actually really interesting how they used to print. They have like a matrix where they put these little, you know, words or lines of lead type, and after they finish printing with them, they just put them back and they're melted again. You ever seen those machines? In the old days. Now they have offset. Offset is something much easier. But Prabhupada used to go there and supervise it and raise the money and cook for himself and, you know, take care of all and do his own clothes and everything. So it's not that Prabhupada was incapable of doing these things. Prabhupada was extremely capable. But for preaching, he engaged us in assisting him in different ways. So the principle for our renounced people, or of course, all of us should become renounced. The principle is that we can accept, you know, help, amenities, etc., but we should not become dependent on them. In other words, we can use them for preaching, but not think I need them to live. There's a difference. You know, I need these amenities. I need, you know, I need Maha Mantra to fan me all the time, you know. Don't fan me now because it's a little cold. But anyway, so, you know, it's a, you know, we shouldn't be dependent. The whole idea is the dependent consciousness shouldn't be there. We should be dependent on Krishna. That's what it means, abhaya shat, which, you know, freedom from fear. Abhaya means freedom of fear, not only of being attacked, but also, you know, starving to death or not having anyone to wash your clothes. Or, you know, how will I live? You know, what will happen to me? You know, if there's no computer. What? It'd be a lot better. But anyway, you know, so or if the economy goes down, you know, just like we're looking sometimes at the news and watching the stock market go down. Anyone seen this? Stock market's going down, and then you get fearful. Oh, my God, what's... Yeah, it goes to negative. Then you get really in trouble. Yeah, that... It goes a negative, the people who own stock, we're going to owe the companies money. So I mean, you watch it go down, oh my God, what's happening with the world? Is there going to be, or you know, it's just like I remember the year 2000. You know, right before the year 2000, everyone was predicting the demise of the world as we know it. Oh, 2012, okay. Okay, good. Just so I know to be prepared. So, you know, so everybody was real, you know, even the sannyasis were real nervous. We got to stockpile our grains and everything like that. And then, of course, nothing happened. Of course, you can take some measure, obviously, to prevent against a disaster. At the same time, the whole consciousness should be we're dependent on Krishna. Krishna is taking care of us. And, of course, these are two of Lord Chaitanya's surrendering principles and practices, right? Everybody remembers the sixth? Nobody remembers the sixth. To accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. This is from Prabhupada's teachings of Lord Chaitanya. To understand the Lord is always protecting one and maintaining one. These are the two. What are the next two? Does anyone remember? Wow. What? Yeah, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. Understand the Lord is always protecting one, maintaining one. Have no separate interest than the interest of the Lord. That's the fifth one. And then the sixth one is the most difficult. No, that's the most difficult. Always be meek and humble. These are really important. This is Prabhupada presented this in the beginning of the movement. He presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is the Prabhupada's summary study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the essence or the nectar, the amrit of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the condensed version of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Remember these six principles? Very important for advancing in devotional service. Accept everything favorable. Reject everything unfavorable. Of course, not that one should go to their wives and say that you're unfavorable, but anyway, you know, that can be used in the wrong way.
Unfavorable to you.
You know, you can't go to your wife and say, you're unfavorable for my advancement in devotional service. I mean, that's not really. One should do it in consultation of the devotees. Accept everything favorable. Or Guru Shastra and Sadhu. In other words, we had one devotee who thought, well, it's favorable to smoke marijuana to chant Hare Krishna. Remember that? There was one devotee. But, you know, it has to be in accordance with Guru Shastra and Sadhu. Yeah, one guru. Anyway, he lost his head, in literally and figuratively. So accept everything favorable in accordance with Shastra. Reject everything unfavorable. And these are the two principles we're discussing in class today. To understand the Lord is always protecting one. It is Krishna protecting one. Even though you're taking service from someone else sometimes, it is Krishna doing these things. And he's acting through that person. That way you don't get dependent on the ordinary course of events. That's actually the injunction. And then to understand the Lord is always maintaining one and protecting one. These are the two, you know, four and five. Actually, maintaining comes first. Maintaining and protecting. And then finally, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord and to always be meek and humble. Of course, the last one is the most difficult thing. It's hard to be humble, and I'm really happy that I am. You understand? I'm proud that I'm humble. Anyway, so humble is another, a whole class in itself, and we can give several classes on humility. So So for this, the purpose of this class, these are the two important principles. So Devahuti, getting back to, I mean, this is all about the purport. Devahuti, getting back to the point, was dependent on the Lord and was dependent on the Lord for one's her maintenance and also for her protection. And she wasn't dependent upon her maidservants. She really wasn't, you know, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually dependent upon them. She understood it was Krishna. So in this way, we can accept Yukta Vairagya in preaching Krishna consciousness. So any questions or comments about these things? I touched them on a lot of points, yeah.
There's one thing I saw, because I read Sri Yukta's book a couple of times,
yeah.
They would get purified, of course, and, you know, get the benefit of serving the pure body.
That's true.
They would benefit more.
That's true. I mean, Prabhupada was actually, that's another reason, thank you for bringing that up, that Prabhupada actually was compassionate upon these people. And, you know, many times the people were having difficulty, Prabhupada told them to travel with him, yeah, to give them association. That's a good point. That's another angle. Good. No. No, probably could do everything. I mean, he showed his servants how to cook. You know, and he had his multi-tiered cooker, you know, that he could cook everything like in a half an hour. And he had his servants cook everything while they were giving him a massage, which is really amazing. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing that, you know, not burning everything to a crisp. But Shrutakirti Prabhu was able to learn how to do that. You know, just at the right moment, and then Prabhupada also had him bring in, like, steaming hot chapatis, like that. And that was because Prabhupada wanted to engage him out of his compassion for the devotees and also for, to assist him so he could preach more. Because the preaching, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had his disciples do all sorts of things, you know, that were generally not accepted for sannyasis, like crossing oceans. And, you know, accepting so many things. And the principle of Yukta Vairagya for preaching, but for oneself. If you read the injunctions that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to the members of the Gaudiya Math, it's very heavy. He says the cars should not be used for anything but preaching. You know, you ever read this list he gave? It's very interesting. He gave like a list of ashram principles. The sannyasis should not do this except for preaching. You know, just like, very heavy stuff, you know, very heavy renunciation. But for preaching, there was allowance. You know, don't use a car for your own purpose, but use a car. You can go out and preach. That's the only reason you can use a car. So I would say in the instructions, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that if we study them very carefully, we could see the difference between, you know, Yukta Vairagya for preaching and then enjoying material facilities. You can actually see, that's a very distinct, clear distinction that he made in his instructions to his followers. So any other questions, comments, problems, issues? I mean, so in other words, our sannyasis in our movement are not completely in Maya because they're accepting servants or anything like that.
The political agenda.
Yeah, yeah, there's a political agenda. They're not completely in Maya. I mean, that's the operative phrase. But they're not, no, I mean, it depends on the individual case. But we do have to be careful. We do have to be careful. Extremely careful. Because as soon as we start to become dependent, you know, then we're controlled. We're controlled. We're no longer dependent on Krishna. Really, it's a fine line. Especially if you're managing, it's a really fine line. So, any other questions or any questions or comments? Yeah. Well, I mean, externally, then, but we have to always remember it is Krishna doing it. Yeah. Obviously, we take service from others. Obviously, you know, just like we have to be driven to the hospital or something, you know. you know, let's say we get sick and the ambulance picks us up, you know, that's fine. It's not that we say, you know, not like that man who probably, you know, that story, probably the man was dependent upon God and God sent a helicopter and a boat. You know that story? No, there was a man who was a pure devotee. No, well, I think he was pretty pure. But anyway, he was dependent on God. Prabhupada tells the story. And there was a flood, and the waters were rising and rising and rising. A boat came by. He said, jump in the boat. And they said, and the man said, no, I'm dependent on God. And the waters rose, and he was on the top of his house, and a helicopter came. And they said, please, grab the rope. And the man said, no, God's going to save me. So finally, he died. He drowned. Went back to Godhead or something. Saw God and said, God, why didn't you protect me? And God said, you fool, I did try to protect you. Didn't you see the helicopter and boat I sent for you? So, I mean, we have to see that it is God acting, Krishna acting. That way we can be dependent, take service or take help from others, but always remember it is Krishna behind all these people and acting and help that we're getting. Always remember that. Always Krishna. For one who sees me everywhere and everything, sees everything in me, is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. And that's